Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. This is a special edition with special guest Jacob Ryan.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I am your host, DJ Impact, and I have Simon Street with me here. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, pretty good.
All right, all right. Matt Michaels, how are you?
Doing great. Excited to be talking to the man we're about to talk to.
Exactly. Our other two members are out and about doing what they do, but we have on the line with us Jacob Ryan, who's the independent pro wrestler. He has an interesting story that we're going to talk a little bit about, but we're going to get to know a little bit about him first. So let's get to know Jacob Ryan. How are you?
Doing good, guys. How are you guys?
Awesome.
We're good, man.
Good.
Well, let's just get into it, Jacob. So you're currently young in your career. How did you get the interest into pro wrestling, and what fed you into this crazy world that we all love?
Well, as everybody grew up being a fan of wrestling. I was about 4 years old. I was big into WCW back then for whatever reason.
You were literally a 4 year old running around in your NWO shirt?
Oh yeah, brother. I had a Wolfpack shirt and everything.
Were you trying to sing the Wolfpack song?
Oh, dude, that is like on my playlist still to this day. But yeah, man, my parents got me started into it. My dad was really into it back then, and just started watching with it some days. Some days he would watch it with me. Some days he would just, you know, turn it on and let me just sit there and see what was going on. And just really caught my eye. And it was just something that I stuck, you know, always stuck with me. I think my parents probably thought it's like, oh, it's just going to be a phase. But I mean, even when I was young, I kind of felt like that's something I definitely wanted to be a part of.
Right.
And so as I grew older, it's like I really kept my interest in it. It was the one thing that no matter what, you know, life threw at me or anything like that, I just felt at home watching it. Like I think all of us, you know, kind of do. It was a connection that's really indescribable, but it was always something that I felt at home with no matter what, you know, anything that came at me.
So who was your first favorite wrestler at that time?
Oh, I mean, it's cliche, but I mean, Hogan was obviously the first guy that caught my attention, especially back then.
But you know what? Hogan, and you say cliche, and I don't want to cut you off, yeah. but what's yeah. interesting is that in this perspective, it's not cliche because you actually caught Hogan as a villain.
Yeah.
Where most of us grew up with Hogan as the All-American hero. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So that's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And also it's like it was Hogan, but it was also Sting.
Yeah.
Like back when he, you know, I didn't even catch him when he originally like turned into his, you know, the black and white face paint character. I caught him when he was in the Wolfpack.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
And that was odd. And then I grew older, it's like I figured out, like, you know, all the history and everything like that.
But that, yeah, I mean, that's the way to go. And the thing, too, is that caught your eye because, let's face it, that was pretty cool. You know, the red and black paint, and it was a cool thing to be in the Wolfpack because they now had separated themselves from the black and white, which had gotten so oversaturated that all the cool guys were in the black and red now. And you could see where that would grab your attention.
Oh, for sure. And I think just the fact that it was different and not the normalcy that kind of WCW established with the NWO, I think that's something that really caught my eyes. Like, because these guys kind of just went against what the original idea was and kind of just created their own thing. So it's kind of a life aspect I've always taken with me is like, don't always, you know, follow the pattern, create your own niche.
Right. Mm-hmm. And using that as an aspect, have you found yourself in your own little wolf pack? Because I think we all kind of gravitate towards a little wolf pack every once in a while in our lives. Are there like certain friends that you have that are like the, you know, your two or three close people that you probably have stories that you can't tell publicly?
So yeah, I mean, I've got to know a lot of great people through this through my career. You know, the 6 years that I've been doing it, but I mean, the last, you know, few years, I've really got to know a lot of good people. I would say I have a definite closeness with certain people, like my one buddy. His name is James Johnson, and he wrestles out of South Carolina. Me and him have had a really tight bond because, you know, about last year I had some, you know, was battling depression and whatnot. He was the one person that always, like, you know, helped me get through the day or anything like that. But he's always stuck by my side, and I've had a lot of good road trips with him. And, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's some stuff probably not good to discuss. Some conversations that we have. Mm-hmm. Because some people may view it as like, God, they are really sick and twisted.
Well, don't feel bad. You'll be a long line of other people later in the years that disclose those stories.
Right.
Yes. Yes. My tell-all book.
So did you then, at what point did you kind of fall out of wrestling? Did you start doing athletics in high school, or, you know, how did it come about that you just kind of transferred, you know, into high school and then eventually into being 18-year-old and starting pro wrestling training?
So through high school, I tried with the wrestling, like, just, you know, amateur style. Yeah. But it wasn't it just wasn't something I could dedicate myself to, and not because, you know, I can't hit somebody with a folding chair. That wasn't it. But it just wasn't something that I was really interested in. And so I kind of fell out of that, but I always stuck with watching the product.
Okay.
And I kind of kept myself preoccupied with – I took JROTC in high school, kind of just kept myself, you know, out of trouble. And I think that was a good thing for me. But other than that, it's like I didn't really compete a lot with sports and athletics, mostly because I was not the most athletically gifted person in the world. So
Sure.
So I just kind of stuck to myself during high school, but I also had my group of friends. I don't want to say I was kind of the outcast, but I was kind of like the black sheep that everybody kind of gravitated to for certain things. And I just had certain groups that I would, you know, be with some days, and some people I would talk to every now and again. I kind of just was in between. I wasn't, you know, with the cool kids or the jocks or anything like that. I could talk to any group and just be a real person, and I think that's what they respected more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So Jacob, do you kind of feel like that ability alone of being able to be so socially versatile and be able to kind of fit in with both groups, do you feel like that skill set kind of lends well with you know being able to kind of read the crowd and to kind of interact with the crowd, whether it's just storytelling in the ring or if you're cutting a promo?
Yeah, very much so. And I think the one thing that's missing sometimes is the realism. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, just keep, you know, the worst thing you can do is try to, you know, BS the fans. And I and I've seen it a lot where guys kind of just, you know, walk around and circle around subjects just to get to their a point that they're trying to make. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that I have always been taught and I apply to real life, if you keep it real, then people will respect you a lot more. And I do apply that to my character, my promos, or anything like that. You know, because I feel like if you don't, then you're not being yourself. And the one thing I've always tried to keep in my heart is always be true to yourself and never try to change for whatever other people, you know, want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Respect, respect. So, Jacob, you know, when you speak of your style, what kind of style do you kind of showcase? Are you a grappler? Or are you a submission specialist? Or are you more high flyer, striker? I mean, the list could go on. But what do you present out to everybody?
So, in my mind, I'm not really one style based to that. I kind of try to adapt to each and every one. Because I've literally fought every type of style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The high flying, the grappler, the submission game, or anything like that. I try to have a little bits and pieces of each one and throw it in there when needed. So I kind of describe my style as more of a hybrid, just a different form. I adapt to whatever my opponent is specialized in, and I always try to have a counter for it.
Okay.
But I always try to make it, you know, to my style. I keep my fat behind on the ground as much as possible, because I wasn't blessed with a pair of wings, and I got led in my behind, I think, sometimes. But also, I've tried to adapt to more of a athletic style, because, like I said, I wasn't a naturally gifted athlete.
Yeah,
and it took finding confidence in myself to be able to do certain things. Like, I don't know if, I don't do 10 flips off the rope, but like I said, I keep it, ground and pound, kind of a style that lets you know, it's like, hey, you can do certain things, but I'm always going to have a counter. Whatever you do, whether it be a submission, whether it be a simple punch to the face.
And who would you say have been so far your trainers or your mentors who have kind of instilled some of this into you, the people that you kind of look up to in terms of, kind of getting you where you're at now, and that you kind of credit for going from being, someone who is self-proclaimed unathletic to someone who can work different styles and, be able to adapt in a match?
So I've had a lot of guys, take interest in my career, which I have always appreciated. Any good advice is great advice, in my opinion. A lot of guys that I found inspiration in when I really started getting involved in the independent scene here in North Carolina, I would say guys who you guys may not be familiar with, guys like Ethan Case, Billy Brash, Mark James, there's Brutal Bob Evans also.
Okay. Yep.
I've talked a lot with, and I've also gotten advice from guys like Chris Silvio and several others, C.W. Anderson.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm around him, I always like picking his brain, and having C.W.'s respect, I think, is one thing that I've always, taken to heart, is like, did something, for me, having any of those guys' respect or anything like that, is something that I really appreciate, because I try to work as hard as I can, because, I don't do certain things like other people do, but it makes doing the work a little extra hard to get noticed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as long as I have any of those people's respect or anything like that, no matter who's, like, there's countless other people that I've had advice given to me or anything like that, but a lot of people have helped me along the way to mold me to where I think I am kind of hitting my stride. Just took a while to really find it and find my real confidence. Like I said, having those guys respect and, them even taking an interest in me is something I'll always appreciate.
Does that seem to translate into starting to get the feel of the audience and knowing, how to adapt the certain, when an audience is buying into something? Are you starting to feel that you're getting that more confidence into being able to, call in ring, become a little bit more of a ring general?
Yeah, very much so. Having those guys take the interest in me also, you know, gave me the confidence to be able to know, hey, because there's a lot of guys, you know, hey, I actually have a, you know, pretty good mind for this stuff.
Right.
You know, be able to, you know, I'll handle myself and maybe handle, you know, lead on an opponent or anything like that. And there's a lot of young guys that are coming up now that kind of look at me like, you know, I always joke and say like I'm kind of the old man when I'm around some of these guys. even though I'm only 24 and only these guys are like, you know, 19, 20.
Yep.
And some of them are like 15. And
I'm just like,
it's just like, oh God, I feel so old, but I'm not.
Yeah. But well, you're in a very good place though. Remember that you're looking at now something where you are being respected by people who are, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 younger, you know, years younger than you,
mm-hmm.
which is a great place to be in. But you're also expanding your growth so that, you know, at the same time that, you know, you're moving up, you never know when that 15-year-old is 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might all of a sudden be in a position where, you know, you're looking at him and he's going, yeah, this guy really helped me out. And you're going, damn, you know, this guy's like as big as The Rock is now, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, so it's amazing. You know, the old cliche, be people, you know, be good to the people going up because you're going to see the same people on the way down.
Yeah, very much so.
It can happen, especially in this business, because, you know, you could be, you know, a guy who is watching you now and is 10 years old in the future could be a guy that you're wrestling, you know, when you're 20 years into your career,
mm-hmm.
and he's, you know, 5-6 years into his career. So it's just, it's interesting to keep that perspective, and you seem like you have a good grasp on, you know, knowing what different philosophies and what different outtakes to have on life. Are your parents still an influence and still supportive of what you're doing?
Very much so. Good. You know, for a while there, my father, you know, instilled in me very young. He's very old school. He'd rather you have a trade or anything under your belt or anything like that, but I always felt the confidence in myself that I could make a career out of this. Yeah. But yes, my parents have been super supportive, and I think that's for a reason, because when I was younger, my brother actually passed away when he was 12 years old.
Wow, my condolences.
And I appreciate it. Thank you guys. He was born with chronic asthma, and you know he passed away very young. And ever since then, like, they've always tried to support me in anything that I do. So when I start, like, my mother actually took the initiative, and when I told her, hey, I really want to do this, she signed. I was 17 when I originally signed up for training, and she signed the waiver, no questions asked.
Wow.
And, you know, I talked to my father about it. And, you know, he agreed as well. So they've always been supportive since day one. And actually, you know, last night, since, you know, they actually came to the show that I was at, which I'm like the first time in like, God, I want to say two, three years they've been able to come. And they were sitting front row, just, you know, out there support. And it really felt good that they came.
Well, just wait though, 3-4 years from now they're going to be so comfortable that when they're sitting in front row, you know, dad's going to have a beer in his hand and it's going to end up smashing you over the head with the beer. You're going to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, my hell, I mean, I'd sell it.
But you know the thing that's so great with listening to you is right now I think it's just more than evident. Almost anybody who's into wrestling knows that right now is such a great time to be a wrestler. I mean, and even like someone who's not known has like a great percentage chance of getting that opportunity. And it sounds like you already have the good mindset. You seem very humble, and you're taking as many lessons from people who have done this time and time out again. So the preparation's there. I would be surprised, you know, if your opportunity doesn't come real soon. And like I said, man, I think great things could definitely happen for you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And honestly, you know, considering the situation of what's happened, you know, the past week, and it's real. I've always been one of those people that's never really, you know, thought much of himself as far as, you know, being an important part, you know, of the business. I think I'm just, you know, a lot of people just saying, hey, you know, just another hand or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I never really realized how many people I touched, you know, or, you know, secured a bond with. And the fact that, you know, after the situation happened, had all those people reach out and just show love and support, mm-hmm. and everything, just really solidified, you know, I'm doing something right. And it really touched my heart. I mean, bottom line, it just, you know, it really felt good to know that I'm doing something right.
Well, let's get a little into this wonderful, crazy, unbelievable story. Mm-hmm. But let's do a little setup. I think that it's important for anyone who's listening to know what the situation was going into your match with Brad Anderson. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Brad Anderson, unlike CW Anderson, who is a non-lineage Anderson, Brad Anderson is related to Gene Anderson, one of the founding fathers of the Anderson lineage. And I can't even fathom it. So what was the setup going into that match? What had happened previously?
So, I can just give you guys the short version, because, I mean, for right now, it's like I can't really talk much about it, because
right.
There is legality there.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Simply what happened was there was an incident with his son, who was a trainee at the time, or still was, I'm not sure what the situation is now.
Right.
And we, you know, we did a segment to where, you know, I did, you know, give a clothesline to his son. Unfortunately, his son got hurt in the incident, and just a lot of miscommunication, I think, between the promoter and Brad, and not, you know, talking about it.
Sure.
Led to the situation of what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, legally there is still a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, public record, he basically shot on you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the best way to put it without being too graphic or too violent or,
yeah.
It was a shoot. But you weren't in on it. So,
no.
You know, and I guess this is my frustration with it, and that is, you know, men, if you have, even if it's miscommunication,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something that, especially when, man, if you grew up around this business and you've been in it for a long time, you know that there's certain codes. Same with professional football or,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything that has a locker room environment.
Right.
Because a lot of times things can get misinterpreted. Look at back in the day, you used to have, you know, a football team where you'd have black athletes and white athletes. And there would be, because of, you know, cultural differences in the way you're raised, there would be shunning of the different races and stuff. But you guys would all be men. And you would, you know, eventually evolve and talk to each other and get to know people for who they were and not what was done. So, you know, a lot of that misconceiving really kind of just ticks me off personally, because I know, having taken bumps myself, having been around the boys myself, the one thing that you do above anything else is protect each other.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, that's the amazing thing. And obviously, you're a very articulate person. You are someone who is, you know, before this even, you were getting on the radar, because I think you're definitely growing in your career. And that's one of the most important things that we want people to realize, is that this is not something where, you know, people are just reaching out to get your story, to expose the evil side of the business or whatever. Listeners, please realize that Jacob is a guy who has a lot of fucking talent. I mean, right. Just plain and simple. And this is a man who is definitely on the rise and working his way up, and, you know, could very well be, you know, on one of the major shows very, very soon, because you're definitely heading in that direction. So don't misconceive any of this as, here's a wrestler looking for attention or looking for publicity or anything like that.
Right.
And the same can be said from, you know, Brett Anderson's perspective too. This is a guy who's not going to just do that just for publicity. You just don't do that in this business. So please, you know, when you guys are reading the stories and hearing the interviews, please don't make a misconception about any of this. It just was an unfortunate event that had to happen because someone, you know, took it that way. With that being said, what do you feel after going through, you know, this whirlwind and then stepping back into the ring? And this is where this shows that you are set to be a professional wrestler. You know, it is professional because you stepped into the ring days after this went down, you know?
Yeah.
And so what was that feeling then? Because a lot of it has to do with that trust. And even though everyone, you know, had your back and stuff, you know, when you fall off a horse, you got to convince yourself to get back on that horse right away. And what did it feel like? What were you going through just getting into that mode and that zone again?
So I think the thing that helped me the most was I have a group of people here in my hometown that actually I went and trained with. And not for nothing, like, the day after the event took place, I wasn't in the right mind, and I kind of just took, you know, the day and just relaxed. But by Tuesday morning, I was ready to get back in the ring.
Yeah.
And I was literally pacing back and forth, just ready to get back in there. So when Wednesday came, I kind of eased myself into everything. But it wasn't even 5 minutes that I was in the ring and, you know, started getting in on the bumps and everything like that. As soon as that switch that I have, that I've, you know, been able to grow, it finally it went off without a hitch, and it was like nothing had ever happened. And I was able to get in there and help, you know, and kind of, I don't want to say coach, but kind of give my aspect of everything, what people have taught me, and kind of apply it to these guys, because all these guys are still very relatively young in the business. They've maybe been doing it a year or somewhat less.
Yeah.
So I was able, it felt good to be in there and kind of get my brain, you know, my brain just started rolling, like went into overdrive, and it was literally like I'd never even fell off that proverbial horse.
Right.
That's and great. For me, it's like I told, you know, because I had the promoter for GCW, Michael Butler, who's been nothing but supportive as well throughout this. You know, he reached out to me and he asked me, he's like, what do you want to do? I said, honestly, man, I said, I got to see where my head is at.
Yeah.
And
very wise.
When I went to that training session, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm not going to lie, guys. I was very nervous, I was very, you know, not, you know, my confidence was still a little low. It's like, am I going to get, like, you know, the shock value going to set in? You know, I had all these questions going through my head, but as soon as I seen these guys starting to go through their warm-ups and everything like that, I got in there and just started going to work, and it felt fantastic.
Yeah.
It felt like I hadn't even, you know, whatever happened didn't even happen. Mm-hmm. And I knew after I left that training session that I was like, you know what? I said, it's time to go back to work. It's time to get back to what I want, what I love to do.
Yeah. And that's the difference between someone who sees this as a lifestyle, is passionate mm-hmm. about it, you know,
yeah.
and then someone who, you know, is easily, you know, already wishy-washy, you know, mm-hmm. could be scared off by, you know, just even training in the ring and taking a bad bump and, you know, mm-hmm. ouch, this hurts, and, you know, right. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, and, my neck. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I mean, that's the brilliance of it. And the other thing, too, is I think that you don't even realize it, but what you've done now is you've set an example for those, you know, youngsters, like you said, who have been in it less than a year, and here you are showing that, hey, if he can do this, you know, I can do this. I got to get my balls, you know,
yeah,
you know, in my hand and just run with it, because that's the best thing that you can do is set that example. You know, after having, you know, any kind of, you know, listen, it's entertainment, and anytime mm-hmm. that there's anything where a performer ends up being put in a situation where they become, you know, potentially gun shy, to show that you're not gun shy and that you've got it together, that's great. And to be doing it, you know, where you get to benefit the others around you, that is amazing. And the question now is, where do you see yourself going?
The only place I see myself going is up from here. There's nowhere other I want to go than up. And from, you know, the amount of people that reached out to me, it wasn't just, you know, a lot of people look at these, you know, the promoters and bookers that reached out to me.
Right.
And there's been a lot, you know, I'm not going to lie, there's been a lot of negative comments made about it. It's like, you know, that happened to me back in the day. I didn't get bookings out of it. Well, you know, the situation was different back
right.
then.
Yeah, right.
But also these people that have reached out to me are people that I've established relationships with.
Right.
And, you know, through good press and, you know, good contact, they reached out to me. And, you know, for me, it's like I've been trying to build back up to where I want to be, because I kind of, you know, I did fall off there for a little bit. But my one thing was I wanted to get back to where I was. And if it took, you know, I'm not saying this was a good thing that happened, but if it took this happening to kind of, you know, get me, you know, the press that I needed, I'm not going to let that moment define me. Right. But I am definitely mm-hmm. going to use the momentum from it to make the huge negative that it was into a massive positive.
Right. Yeah.
And I have opportunities coming up in, you know, states like Michigan, Indiana, Tennessee. I have other places in like Florida that have asked me to reach out to them. You know, when all this happened, like the big movement on Facebook was, you know, book Jacob Ryan, you know, support, stand with Jacob Ryan, all that was something I didn't, you know, I never asked for any of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that all those guys took the initiative to even put their name behind, you know, me and put their stamp on my name, it was truly humbling, and it's not something that I take lightly.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like now, like I said, with all these opportunities that I've gotten, I realize now, you know, it's make it or break it time. And I've actually had people reach out to me. It's say, hey, it's awesome that you're getting these opportunities, but just know this, you've got to really prove that you deserve them.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I know in my heart that I do. And now I've got to, you know, buckle down more than I ever have before and knock it out of the park each and every time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one thing I will say, Jacob, in hearing you is I think that things sometimes do happen for a reason, but I think it's opportunities to test the stock. And you've exactly. put a lot of preparation into your stock, not just being a professional, but also into just always constantly. It sounds like you always push yourself to challenge yourself to keep evolving. You don't want to just rest on your laurels. You want to keep pushing forward. And I think that in time, regardless, and I'm pretty sure you have the same mindset, regardless of, you know, because of the situation, you're getting a couple more eyes on you. I do honestly believe that, again, preparation meets opportunity. And I do think that as these opportunities come into fruition, I think that you'll be able to just grab the bull by the horns and you'll be able to just show them what you've always shown everybody is your professionalism. Obviously, always making sure that you put on the best match possible and working well with others, because there's a lot to be learned just with your core values in this industry today. Because the one thing I hear a lot when we hear veterans, no matter if it's WWE, people have gone to AEW, Impact, some of the other promotions, a lot of them say that the one thing that they wonder sometimes with younger generation is, other than selling, can they sell? But also too, you know, what is the mentality of them moving forward? Do they care about the product like they cared about the product of sharing that wealth of knowledge and passing that on, being a leader? And it sounds like you have a lot of those qualities in there. Is any of those qualities always come natural for you, or do you find yourself, you know, being in the position of where you are now or where you've come and really just finding like this is my niche leadership wise with what I love so much?
Very much so. I feel with wrestling, it's been the one thing that's always made sense in my world, and the one thing that I've always wanted to learn every aspect of, and to be able to pass, you know, the knowledge that's been passed on to me, I want it to pass on to this next, you know, the next generation, the next kid that's coming up. And the fact that I have people that, you know, come to me, like these young guys, and respect my opinion enough and ask me, you know, hey, would you mind watching my match? Would you mind doing this? What'd you think of this or anything like that? And for me, it's like, I don't think I'm anybody. I think I'm Joe Schmo from, you know, from the around the block. I don't think I have the traction or anything like that. But the fact that these guys, you know, guys and girls respectively, ask my opinion on things, truly means a lot. And I want to be a leader in that aspect. And recently I've had a chance to do that, you know, really take the lead, you know, become a leader in the locker rooms that I'm in, and have, you know, even, you know, veteran guys kind of respect my opinion.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, like I said, these guys, you know, because most of them have been local for a long time, but they've also been in the business for a long time too. You know, they respect my opinion. They don't look down upon me as, you know, just, you know, a kid, you know, coming into, you know, their territory or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I have a stat, you know, because I keep it, you know, like I said, I keep it real in the way I am. I don't come up to them fake. What you see is what you get. And whether you think, you know, I'm a really nice person, or you look at me and said, hey, guy's kind of an asshole. but I don't call it being an asshole. I call it being blunt, and I call it being real.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we need more of that in the world.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I've gained respect through that. And what I want to do, you know, you talked about future goals. For me, recently, before all this, you know, hoopla happened, I said to myself, you know, I really want to try to, you know, eventually open up a facility and have like training, training center. And I know it's kind of a popular thing to do now, you know, have a place to train and train people. But for me, it's like, I don't want to just create another training facility. I want to create a place where people feel comfortable and want to come and try to hone their craft, kind of like a lot of these other places have. Yeah. I don't want to call it like a performance center or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. But as long as I'm a part of wrestling and can, contribute to the business, whatever way it is, because like I said, I'm real in the fact that, you know, my time could come any day. Yeah. As far as my career goes, because you're never promised tomorrow. You're never, guaranteed the next day. As far as in ring, my in ring career goes. But if I can create something that eventually kids see and want to latch onto and want to, trust me with their career, I would be happy doing that. But as long as I'm doing something in wrestling, and even, eventually maybe putting on a show or anything like that, this is all just ideas in my head.
Sure.
But these are things that I think I could easily, make reality out of. It just would take time. But I'm also, for right now, I'm living in the moment of making my career as fruitful and, adventurous as possible, because we all get in at the end of the day, we all get into this because we want to be that big name. We want to be that next star. We want to be that person, that idol somebody looks up to. And that's, for me, is all I would ever want to be. If I can have one kid say, hey, I inspired them to, follow their dream or anything like that, then at the end of the day, no matter what has come my way, I want that. I will always, always hold that near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, that's absolutely just, inspiring to hear. Yeah,
very.
You
sure you're only 24? Yeah. I think you have a really old soul inside of you.
I've been told that a lot, and I think that's just, I attribute that to my my parents and my growing up, and I appreciate what they've done for me so far. And the fact that, they've stood behind me for so long. And not only them, but all my other family. My grandmother actually is going to see me wrestle for the first time in August.
Awesome. You're excited.
She's 82 years old. She has retired 3 times. She has had a knee replacement, and I'm pretty sure she can still outwork me any day.
That sounds like true grit.
Yeah.
Well,
oh yeah.
What one last thing as we kind of come to a wrap up here? What would be one thing that for anyone listening who might know a little bit about you, might have seen you wrestle? What's one thing that they wouldn't know about you? What's one little tidbit that no one really knows?
That's quite an interesting question. The one thing I think that somebody, if they wanted to know something true about me, is, going back to the realism, if I take an interest in anybody, as far as, whether they're a person in the business or just a person in general, I rarely throw around the word, I love you, or right, things like that, because that's something, if I say that to, another guy inside the business, or, any person I come in contact with, whether they be family, friends, or anything like that, if I support any person in my life, know that I will always be there no matter what. I am always that person that you can reach out to. I am always that person you can, call, text, anything like that, because I've been through the struggles, I've been through the trials, tribulations, everything like that. Even at, at this age, I think I've had a lot thrown at me, and I think I've, been through fire. I've come out smelling like smoke a few times, but I've always kept trying to keep my head up. And even after all this situation that has gone down, I didn't let it get me down in any way possible, because I've worked so hard to rebuild my life after anything, you know, all the stuff that's happened. I would never let my positivity waver, because I know that's not what's fair to my family, my, you know, my grandmother, my sister, my niece's nephew, my lovely girlfriend, and, you know, my brother, most importantly, because for me, you know, my brother was somebody, he was a inspiring artist. And I feel through what I'm doing in wrestling, I'm an artist as well. And I feel through that, I'm living both his dream and I'm living both mine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very powerful. And I think that's, you know, one of the things we tend to forget about wrestling, because it is such an athletic competition, you know, and also we get tended to get carried away with ratings and gossip and this and that. We forget, in all honesty, it is an art form. You know, like dancing, like dancing is, or like, you know, music is. You know, you're painting a picture, you're telling a story, and the more that you can dig into that and into those senses of awareness to mold and craft that, you know, as an artist, then the farther you're going to go. And I think that you've definitely got a great head on your shoulders. You're definitely headed forward and up and beyond. And, for, you know, for now, what, you know, has gone on is more of a growth for you. And, you know, take full advantage of riding the wave. And just make sure that, because, you know, they always say it's preparation meets opportunity. And the opportunity is here. Show everyone that that preparation has always been there, and you're going to explode.
Exactly. And I've always been taught that you don't let the moment define you. You define the moment, and you live that moment for as long as you can. And I plan on doing that for as long as I am, you know, God has will allow me to be inside that ring, or however long life will let me live this, you know, dream. And for right now, I'm going to take every opportunity that I'm given or will be given in the future. And it's, you know, I don't want to say exploit, but definitely use it to the best of my ability and show that, hey, I'm not just here to say, hey, I do this for a living. Wrestling is the one thing that is always and has been, you know, the constant in my life. And even at the end of the day, I know I can always have it. And I don't think I could ever see myself living a life where I'm not involved in professional wrestling somehow.
Gotcha. Well, hey, Jacob, speaking of God willing, are there any events coming up that you're going to be having upcoming?
Yes, actually. My next few months have kind of been filled pretty good. mostly in June, I will be hanging around North Carolina. One big show I'll be at on June 7th, I will be making my AML debut for the Future Stars of AML in Winston-Salem. AML is actually a very big promotion out here in North Carolina, along with PWX.
Awesome.
So to be able to have that opportunity, it's definitely something that it was a goal, and I definitely am going to live in that moment. As I said, come July, I'll be 4th of July, I will be in West Virginia for Real Shoot Wrestling. And 2 days later, I will be in Austell, Georgia for Stranglehold Wrestling. Coming into, and also that following weekend, I'll be in Tennessee for Extreme Mountain Wrestling Alliance.
Nice.
And there's a lot of them that I could probably plug here. You know, in August, I'll be in Ring Wars, Carolina and Lumberton. The following weekend, I'll be heading back home to where I was born in Wyandotte, Michigan, for make my Metro Pro Wrestling debut.
Nice. Okay, cool.
A couple weeks later, I'll be heading back to Indiana. I haven't been to Indiana in a couple years, so I'm excited to get back there for New Wave Pro and Paradigm Pro Wrestling out in Jeffersonville. And right now, that's all the opportunities I have got right now. I do have I will have some return dates with some of those promotions, mm-hmm. But I'm still working on some other scheduling with some places out in Florida. I've actually been contacted by a promoter up in Canada to get my passport. I think I definitely need to work on that one. But I've also had somebody reach out to me all the way over in California, Seattle, Oregon area, and also he works up in Vancouver.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's crazy to see how far my reach has gotten so fast and so overnight. I mean, social media is, you know, we always like, yo, social media is like the fastest, you know, spreading thing out there. You know, you never really realize it until it happens to you.
Right.
The fact that I've had so many big names in wrestling reach out and like tell, you know, talk about my story. Like, I mean, for example, I don't think anybody else really has Sean Waltman's phone number in their phone and been able to talk to him. That was through actually a good friend of mine here in North Carolina. He actually talked to Sean for me originally. His name was Michael Smith, or also known as White Mike out here.
Yeah.
He's a very cool guy, and
he's very well respected too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
He's very, very well respected, and he's actually, you know, in the past year or so that he's taken off, and him and Timmy Lou are two of the guys that I really aspire to, you know, want to be like, because they've literally had the rocket ship strapped to their back.
Yeah.
And they've taken off so much. And I knew Timmy when he first started, and Timmy's actually been doing this less time than I have, but he's taken every opportunity and been able to use it so well. And I can't be, you know, I'm so happy for those guys. And, you know, it just really does my heart good to see good guys like that make it in, you know, and get those opportunities. But yeah, I mean, I actually, just to touch on that, like I said, I actually reached out to Sean and, you know, talked with him a little bit about some things. And the last thing I said, you know, I was talking to Sean, it's like, you know, I thanked him for letting me reach out to him and discuss what happened. And I told him, I said, honestly, I have a lot of things in my head, you know, a lot of self-doubt about, hey, maybe I could have done something, you know, done things differently, or maybe I shouldn't have done this. And the advice he gave me, last advice he gave me was, you won't be known as the kid this happened to if you stay the course. Yep. And do noteworthy things in your career. That part is up to you. As far as spending too much time in your head thinking about how you might have handled things differently, cut that out.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
and
Jacob,
this is crazy, man.
It's been a pleasure talking with you today. How can people reach you if they want to check out your events, so they could come to all those places that you was naming? How can they reach you through your social media or a website?
Through social media, you can reach me at Jacob Ryan on Facebook. I both have a fan page and personal page.
Okay.
That I have to have access. I also, you can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Ryan Pro. Instagram, Jacob Ryan _pro.
Okay.
And I don't know if Snapchat's still a thing, but you can add me on there at TheJacobRyan94. I share my adventures and everything like that whenever I'm out on the road.
Yeah.
As much as possible. I'm the first person to admit I'm terrible at capturing moments, but I'm trying to get better at that.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. I'm the same way.
But yeah, I'm just kind of one of those guys. Just I start living. I just live in the moment, and then it's like, oh crap, I could have taken a picture of that.
Awesome. Well, Jacob, it's been our pleasure. Thank you.
No, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys talking to me.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Simon Street, with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Want to let everybody know that on Saturday, June 1st, 7 p.m., Future Stars of Wrestling present to you High Octane, Calm Before the Storm. Ticket prices include first row, $27, general admission, $17. All taxes and fees are included. For more information on purchasing tickets or information on the event, please go to www.futurestarsofwrestling.com or call 702-742-8770. Again, Saturday, June 1st, 7 p.m., Future Stars of Wrestling present to you High Octane, Calm Before the Storm. Why hear about the future when you can witness it yourself? Hope to see you there.
Hey there, Matt Michaels here. I just want to let everyone know that the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting are pleased and proud to announce that we will be starting a monthly podcast live at the Boulder Station Hotel and Casino right here in Las Vegas. It's going to be on Monday nights, the last Monday of every month. And our first one is in June, the 24th at 6 p.m. at the Kix Lounge at Boulder Station Hotel Casino with our special guest, Kenny King. That's right, ROH's own Kenny King and Las Vegas's K-I-N-G King is going to be with your Vegas Bad Boys at the Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. Now, the show will be us and Kenny talking about his life, his career, things you might have never heard about him. We'll talk a little wrestling, and then at 8 p.m. Pacific time, we'll go right into watching Raw. That's right, WWE Raw Watch Along Party at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. You can't get that anywhere else here in Vegas right now, just with us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And guess what? It's free, open to all ages. And yes, we like to curse a lot, but in this case, we're going to hold it back. So if you want to bring the kids out, please feel free, because it's a family-friendly environment there at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. And I'm telling you, it's going to be one heck of a good time. So please, please start spreading the word. Tell your friends, because it's a nice little lounge and seats are going to fill up quick. You're going to be able to order dinner if you'd like, get some drinks, have a good time. And guess what? During Raw, we'll be handing out prizes. So bulk up a little bit on your WWE trivia, and maybe you might go home with something nice. Boulder Station Hotel and Casino is located at 411 Boulder Highway, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121. And it is at the Kix Lounge. That's K-I-X-X. And we can't wait to see you. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to get a chance. Do you have any questions for Mr. Kenny King? Ask him right there live as we record the podcast at Boulder Station Hotel Casino's Kix Lounge on June 24th at 6 p.m. Don't miss it.